Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hey there. We are starting a little bit late. The room was locked when we got here, so we're still doing some setup.
No worries, no worries.
How are things going?
They're going pretty good. They want to keep things short. It's going to be outside, so things look well.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, I'm sure it's going to be beautiful. Look forward to seeing pictures. Praise the Lord. We're just about to get started. One more minute. We will be getting started. We're praying for you, Dixon family, as you're at the wedding today, excited for the couple and for your role and responsibility in conducting the service. So, looking forward to hearing all about it. I'm going to repeat that probably when someone who's not in the room comes back. And then we will get started when they return. They're just on a quick call. All right, we're going to get started this morning. Just want to welcome everyone to Life Church. I see a message here on our text, Happy Sunday all. So we are praising the Lord for today. We're praying for the Dixon family. They're at a wedding today, everyone, and Michael and Crystal are conducting the service. So we're excited for you in this role. So we're going to get started with just a time of worship and praise the Lord. And today we don't have our usual video, so we will not have slides. You'll just hear me talking, but the Lord is with us, and that's the important thing. So let's just praise God with this song. Hope I can.
Sovereign, praise 'cause you reign.
Hallelujah. I love that song that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're going to just take a moment for our fellowship moment today. If you have any testimony, you got breath in your body, you want to praise the Lord. Let's just give God some praise this morning. Anything on your heart where you want to express some thanksgiving to God, acknowledge how he's been faithful, acknowledge how he's been trustworthy. Whatever's on your heart, we'll just leave some room for folks to just share a couple of words about God's faithfulness, just giving him praise this morning. So anybody on Zoom, feel free to unmute if you want to share something that you're giving God praise for this morning. And anyone here as well, of course. Why don't you come a little bit closer so they can hear you? Yeah, just want to bring
That's
your
fine.
chair. Yeah. That's good. That's
Oh,
excellent. Yeah, in fact, you can
okay.
sit there want to.
Hello, everybody. So I got a message from a dear friend. She sent me a voicemail message today after her service, and she always remembers me telling her, what we have all heard before is when people tell you who they are, believe them. We often say that from a negative perspective, when they tell you who they are, if they're not reliable, or if they're not safe, or don't, they're telling you in a lot of ways. She gave it another spin, which I really liked. She said, over and over, God tells us who he is. So he's telling us who he is. He is
Amen.
faithful. He is loving. He is merciful. And I just thank God that he is always telling us who he is and that he is bigger and greater than anything, anyone, every circumstance, every obstacle, every challenge.
Amen.
And so I love that. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
Amen. I love that perspective. That's wonderful. Yes, God is always showing us
Who
who
he
He
is.
is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, he's revealing himself to us. So just give space if anyone else wants to share before we have our next worship song this morning. You can just give a shout out, a praise to God. Oh, in fact, why don't you just come up? You can look at my screen. Yeah. Just come on up. Yeah. Anybody else want to share any words of praise to God this morning?
I thank God. I was at a retreat yesterday, Friday, and yesterday I was only planning to be there for a Saturday, but the retreat organizer appealed to me to come to the first part as well, so I did, and I felt like the Lord got me through it because there were other things I needed to do with my hours, but I participated, and it was good. It was good. It's good, it was a good retreat, good interaction with folks, and I was able to accomplish the things I really needed to accomplish at the expense of being up very late. But in any event, it worked out, and I can take a nap later today.
Amen. This is true. This is true. Well, I'm going to thank God for a financial blessing. So, some of y'all know we have solar panels on our house, and we've had solar panels for just a couple months now. So, for the first month now, I actually saw a bill that seemed to reflect the solar panels. We literally had a $3 electric bill. So I said,
Oh,
That reminds me, the stipend check for the cohort.
amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is we need to deposit. We got they gave out the second stipend check at the retreat for the beloved community cohort.
Oh, you got a stipend check?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yes, we were just sharing. We had our first worship song, which said, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And we're just giving God some praise with our fellowship moment. So yes, if you want to share anything that you're giving God thanks and praise for before we go into our next worship song, you are welcome to do so. So folk online, folk in the room, feel free, anything that's on your heart to share that you're giving God thanks and praise for this morning.
Well, I was just so thankful for just what the Lord is doing. Yesterday, we were able to visit a former student of ours who is doing a book signing. She did the book signing at the Roxbury Library yesterday. And, you know, it was just good to see how she's doing. She wrote a book about Abby Lincoln, who's a famous jazz singer and actress, amongst other things. And now we're doing the wedding, and this is Crystal's first officiated chance. So she's excited. One of the things Jahi said yesterday is that this things are coming full circle. I just remember yesterday you were holding Micah in our arms, and you know, and so you know that's one of the first things he remembers, and so he was really appreciative of this time, and so it's just good to see what the Lord's doing. And sometimes it's just good to see how the Lord is moving through you, even despite you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I love that, those full circle moments. God's faithfulness is just so evident. Amen. Don't want to cut anybody off. Anyone else want to share anything? Before we move on to our next worship song. So again, apologies that we don't have our normal video today. So we are doing what we can do. And we're going to share, let's see. Okay. Stop sharing. Let me just share again for our next worship song for today. Okay. I'm just gonna make this big so y'all who are here in the hope you can see this.
I'm reading up close.
Yeah, I got contacts.
Oops.
I try and keep telling me, get some contacts.
All right, so we can share this.
Can you swim with those in?
No.
When I said that, the only thing I thought immediately, you can't swim with them.
Yeah, I put something over my eyes anyway.
No, you wouldn't. You something over your eye. You don't want to do that. Yeah, okay. They'll wash away.
And it'd be very difficult to find those.
Yeah, nothing worse
in a big pool. All right, so for our next worship song, and those who are here, you can look on my screen or Rockland's.
He brought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed, I'm a child.
Thank you, Lord. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, chosen, not forsaken.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord,
yes,
for your faithfulness,
thank
for your love,
yes,
for your provision.
Yes.
Lord, that we're set free,
yes,
in Christ. We're,
yes,
free indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you are doing, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, just the present reality of your faithfulness and your presence with us. Oh, God, we celebrate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve a good God. We serve a loving God. We serve a faithful God. We serve a powerful God. Hallelujah. We serve a sovereign Lord. We serve a king above every other king. Hallelujah. No one like him. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He deserves all the praise, deserves all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. Yes, Lord. Have your way. Have your way in our midst. Hallelujah. Have your way in our midst, Lord. Have your way in our midst, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Move upon your spirit, Lord.
Fill us up, O God.
Fill us up, O God. Fill us up, O God. Fill us up, O
God. Fill us up, O
God. Yes, Lord, speak, Lord. Servants are hearing. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit's here.
Yes.
He's placed something on your heart to share with us. I believe the Lord wants to share something with us this morning, so if he's placed a word on your heart, I want to invite you to share what the Lord has placed on your heart to share with us this morning. Mm-hmm. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We thank you for your word, for your scripture that we can rely on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, thank you. God is giving us confirmation over and over again, and we just have to be aware and to be still and know that he is God. Mm-hmm. Allow what he is telling us, encourage us to keep moving on. I found myself at Jubilee this morning just to really be able to be with my wife, because it seems as though, you know, she's going that way to church all the time and only accompanying me because we really want to be together, but she's getting more there than, I mean, it's a growth thing, I believe. I've grown up in that church, and it's served its purpose. And anyway, I'll get to the point. Confirmation is young Maddie was preaching today. And he even said it. He even said these things, these key things that I wrote down. Because I really want to. He talked about life group and life church, community, and go make disciples. So
praise God.
I realized that. Because I kept asking myself, why isn't anybody getting that? Why isn't anybody, I mean, why isn't it that's the main word in the church, and the main movement in the church is to make disciples. But then I hear this young man, and they had a little video on before he started preaching. And he made a big thing about this life group. Mm-hmm. And he had one of the other workers come on to get ready to say something about it. And he kind of bumped her out of the way. No, you need to be there, you know, life group. Don't let me tell you again. You know, so this is what I think about every day now. I mean, you know, this is what I pray about first thing before asking for anything. I'm praying that God would line us all up, that we are not afraid, you know, because of the numbers, you know. That's not what's important. What's important right now is that we stay true to what God is speaking to us. Mm-hmm. You know, he's given us some tools, and actually I'm excited. When I talk about this place and I talk about how many people were there today, I tell people how excited I was that those people showed up to be a part of a big picture. I have great conversation. Before I left, and you know, this is why I'm tardy sometimes, is because last week I was dressed to come, and my mother showed up, was caregiver, you know, brought it in to pick up her pills, because we manage her pills for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, look, I'm late, and I want to go to church. I must go, let's just go to church. And so I have a woman who rents the gym space on Sunday morning, and actually she just texted me to see if I was there. She came out, and know, she has a mother who is not elderly, a little older than I am, but she's, you know, sickly, and I pray for her off and on. So we were outside, and she was talking to me about it, and I wound up spending more time with her, praying with her. And it was way too late for me to journey over to this side. But I'm excited. I'm excited that God is busying the hands of his workers. And I'm glad to see that, well, it looks this way anyway, that you're not touched or moved by the numbers that are not here, and that you're still speaking, you know, the word that God has given you to speak. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud, mm-hmm. proud of you. Amen. And I speak about you often, mm-hmm. God's workers. Amen. So if I can encourage you in my own way, keep going forward.
I echo that, especially the line where he said, Jubilee to serve his purpose.
Yes.
That's exactly how I felt. Mm-hmm. I grew up in that church too. Mm-hmm. And I needed something different, more. I felt like I was going to, and I tried to stay there when Bishop retired, but I felt like I was going backwards and starting all over again.
Yes.
Just with the next generation. I was like, I just didn't sit with my spirit. Mm. And I really did try. I said, well, maybe I'm going to be one of the elders now, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't have that relationship. And it was important to me to have a pastor that when I pick up the phone and call, they're going to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And a pastor and pastors that know the word,
mm-hmm.
And feeling like they knew me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was looking for another place, and I visited a bunch of places, this was the place, and the community and the believers here that are so committed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the other important thing was there needed to be room for my gift, and there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And this place, this church, this community, mm-hmm. this family met all my needs and my wants, and I had peace and settledness in my spirit.
Yeah.
Thanks, God. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I echo. Wonderful, wonderful people have said. And it was, you know, it's been on my heart about Life Church, you know, and I often think about you guys, and, you know, I know we're a small congregation, and, you know, the struggle is real. I think about you guys' struggle. It's just like from where you guys come from when we was at Jubilee and mm-hmm. how all that stuff happened, and, you know, and we're here. And appreciating you to like to the utmost, I'm so grateful. As I will not continue to stop sharing how grateful I am for y'all being in my life and helping me to be. And you know, when I think about people, I tend to think about the real part. You know, it's not like we got thousands of finances coming through the doors, you know, and thinking about, you know, how you guys are all managing and just continue to, that God would continue to bless you. And, you know, as last week service, it just really, you know, had me thinking, but the Spirit of God has me thinking, and I appreciate Sheila and, you know, her coming in, and there's a whole thing that God is doing, even though stuff is where it is. But I was reminded, and even to hear what
Reynolds
and Sheila just shared, God gave me in 2005, and he reminded me of this, he gave me the new village. didn't know what that meant. I wrote it down. He was like, in the vision that he gave me was this village. It had everything that we needed. We needed lawyers, if we needed food, if we needed things. Everything is in this village. And I was just like, wow, God, what, you know? And at the time, David had left, you know, here I was, and I'm, you know, and it came when I was like in the bathroom. My bathroom is my sanctuary. So I'm just like, and I wrote this thing down really, really quickly, and I'm just like, Lord, how do I do that? You know, how do I didn't understand it at the time. But then I thought that as time went on, and in 2007, I started the Wellesley Medical Village, because that's where my kids were in school, and, you know, here the boys are, you know, and I'm trying to get to know the parents. And interestingly enough, I had said to the two of the parents, you know, can I pray? Now, mind you, I was a little bit afraid, because, you know, I didn't know how people was going to respond to, you know, you're praying and all that, and knowing that I'm a believer. Well, this thing took off. When I tell you it took off, it took off. We had about 12 to 14 students, 6th and 7th grades. It started out for the four boys, my two, and they both had boys. And we were trying to figure out how to get them together under some constructive structure, opposed to them just sitting with video games. You know, it was just like, you know, we're not doing that. But this thing turned out that we had 12 to 14 students for a whole year. We had people coming that were volunteering. Judge Leslie Harris, Lisa Holmes, who was the sergeant of police, you know, head nurses, and all of them were Black. Because I was like, you know what? Yeah, Wellesley is rich. They have a lot of money, but we're rich too. And at that time, that's what I thought. I was just like, wow. And it was, it was beautiful, written up, you know, acknowledged, and I'm just like, okay. But when Sheila came to, you know, when I reached out to Sheila, it was brought back to my mind in the in the village, we will have everything we need. Yes, I know that we're a small congregation, and I see that, and but when I see what is doing, you know, in the gifts that we've seen thus far, and I pray that you guys don't stop us. You know, I know stuff is, you know, the struggle is there, but that we would continue, because in our village we have everything we need to help, to assist, knowledge, information from every aspect. You know, from health to education to politics, to we have everything we need. And I was reminded of that when the connection happened, and I was just like, okay, how do I do this? How do we, you know, continue in, you know, going forward? You know, and I just pray that our strength would not allow the doors to shut.
Amen.
That's my prayer, because we are the village, and God, that was 2005, and here I am thinking, okay, how do I do this? How do I, you know? And we lost contact at one point, but just like, okay, Lord, I'm thinking the new village is the Wellesley Mecca Village, and it was incredible. And I was just like, okay, and you know, we manage with no money, with no funding, to keep these 12 individuals connected. And we had workshops, but we didn't do the workshops. We, you know, we were pouring into the children, and so they were doing the workshops, and they, you know, and it's amazing. It was amazing. But when I connected, I was like, it's here. It's in our village.
Yes.
And so as I, you know, it's like, okay, well, I hadn't thought that thought in a long, you know, about that. And I said, we have what we need in this village. Yeah. So now it's time to really operate in it. Okay. To really, however God it.
Mm.
You know, to be seen, for people to know, and when they come to our doors, you know, to really know it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is, and I just pray that, you know, the doors of Life Church don't shut.
No, no.
You know?
I have the same vision, you know, and it's built up over the years. Just what you say, we would have everything, you know, we have everything that we need, and everything's in that village. I also see the place, I see the want, I see people coming from, you know, all over the world, mm-hmm. you know, to be in this place, because you two have had the heart to continue on, no matter what, mm-hmm. no matter what the situation looks like, you're continuing on, and what's going to happen is, I see just what my sister sees, that we're not going to want for anything, because everything is going to be there. Mm. And the peace of God, Kingdom Village is what I saw,
mm.
you know, Kingdom Village. And so this is replicating what we read in the Word, mm. let you know, His kingdom come and His will be done mm. here on earth. And so every thought that we have, because we're only limited to being humans, so every thought that we have and every gift that we can humanly, you know, share with one another, that's what's going to happen. I mean, just think of the Garden of Eden, you know, just think about, you know, properties that we would have, and housing that we would have, and everything to facilitate all of those things. All of the personnel that we need is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I go over it in my head over and over again, but what I'm saying, I believe this is true, but I'm only limited to what I know, mm-hmm. you know, and what my part is, and that is supporting each and every gift that comes into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Can I also add what they're both talking about? That we're to go out and make disciples,
mm-hmm.
but there is a ministry that we have to have for each other, for the body mm-hmm. to take care of ourselves
mm-hmm.
so that
mm-hmm.
we can go do.
Yes.
So yeah. having everything we need to build up the body mm-hmm. that is going to go do the work
yeah.
mm-hmm.
is really, really important.
Yes.
That
yes.
God wants us to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if He's, you know, yes. all the things that you're saying, and you, Reynolds, yeah. about us having what we need, it's not only for out there,
yes.
it's for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
We have what we
yeah.
need
yes.
to go do
mm-hmm.
the work He wants us
yeah.
to do.
And God is, He's the provider.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And He's, you know, He's showing me. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I'm so excited and, you know, really standing on His word, standing. That's what I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is my praise yeah. and my worship, and you just said, do not despair, do
yeah,
not be dismayed, because
mm-hmm.
He's going to do it. And
mm-hmm.
I heard somebody say that saying, you know where your trust in God is, and I know I'm not putting it right, is by where your money is.
Yeah.
And last week, 2 weeks ago, you know, I paid my tithes, and I, you know, and I'm just like, God, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Where is my, is, you know where your trust in God is,
yeah, yeah.
or where your money is.
Your
whatever
money.
Way He put that thing, but it just hit my ear like that, and I was just like, you know what? Absolutely. And I said, Lord, I'm trusting you.
Mm-hmm.
I stepped out on faith, and,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just believing.
Mm-hmm.
I am believing. And, you know, I know one of the things that I personally want to be able to come through me and is that I'd be so strong in God that when stuff happens, it don't send me back down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Amen.
I am determined.
Yes, praise
Praise God.
And I'm determined that the women and the people that I'm connected to get that same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, no. And, you know, just being able to remind, you are strong, you are this. Mm-hmm. What we tend to do is to beat ourselves up, put ourselves down. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a place right now that my mind is like, woo, but I said, Lord, mm-mm. And that's where I want to be. Mm-hmm. That, you know what? No, mm-mm. But in a way that I'm able to encourage and empower my brother, my sister, that, yeah, you're going through this difficulty. Yes, it's hard,
mm-hmm.
but you're not here. And we're not going to beat ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what the enemy wants. And I'm just like, God, that's what I'm determined to
do. Yes.
And I've been working at it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I got the victory.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Honest to goodness, I'm praising Jesus. My mind is quiet because it was all over the place.
Yeah,
Ray,
yeah.
You ain't Ray Disney. Right, and I'm like, oh God, you know, I have to say, you know what, Lord, I need you to quiet.
Yeah.
And I've really been working on that, and I'm feeling much, much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm just like, okay, Lord.
Amen.
And again, this vision is clear, and I just, you know, like I said, continue to pray. I like Life Church. And I like how you guys bring us the word so that we can be knowledgeable when we talk to other people.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's real.
Praise the Lord.
Woo hoo hoo. You all just conspired to encourage us.
Praise God.
God, yes. For you guys.
Amen, amen. But we're so appreciative.
You know, I sent out the text. I wasn't trying to exclude the men, but I did send out the text to the ladies.
Yes.
Because it's for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fully understand the reason, but you know what? It's something that is, I really believe that God is developing and helping me to feel confident and better in my gift that I think I'm afraid of, and all I can do is just take a step. So, but I took the step. I am really, you know, just really staying prayerful about it, with all the and learning to put the distractions here. But I can't do anything except for what God said. Just, you know, really stay in the place of praising Him.
Yeah.
Because that is where Lorraine's mind is not at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about Lorraine and what, you know, and how, you know, I think or put it together. It's just like, no, and God has me right there. Mm-hmm. And everything that I keep reading, it keeps saying, stay in the place of rest. Stay in the place of prayer and praise for me. So,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Woo. Y'all have encouraged us.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't even begin to express the gratitude. So thank the Lord.
Praise God.
Well, we're going to go into the Word. And as I said, apologies that we don't have the screen today, so I didn't really have the kind of slides that we typically have on a Sunday, but I am going to just share so we can read the scripture for today, and you can see it on the screen, and also I will share, if we have time, we might do a quick video, and if we do that, I will also just share that with us today. But let me just share this. Okay. I just love the Lord. The Lord is so amazing. So, expressing gratitude for all that God is doing, and today's The message is entitled, God is at work. God is at work. I think we can testify to the fact that God is at work. So our primary passage of scripture today is in John chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 16 through 30. So I will just share this so y'all can see this, and then I will, when I'm just kind of speaking words and there's no real audio video to accompany it, you don't have to look at the screen. But here we are. Of course, we have our QR codes, especially. So this is a key passage. Let me move this so we can see. It's not blocking. So it says, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they traveled the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son could do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Amen. Praise God for his word. Amen. This morning. So again, these, now I just have some, you don't have to just see every word I'm going to speak here. So I want to share a little bit about the context for this passage that we just read, and it's the first 15 verses of the book of John chapter 5, where Jesus has just healed a man at the pool called Bethesda. And just, if you didn't have a chance to hear that message, we talk about going full circle. Praise God for our brother Stephen. He brought the word last Sunday, so please listen to that message. It was a beautiful message he preached. But this man who Jesus healed, he'd been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus asked the man a compelling question. And that question was, do you want to get well? Mm-hmm. Now, it might seem that the answer to that would be obvious. But the fact that Jesus asked the question reveals that the answer to the question could be no. Do you want to get healed? The answer could be no. Why? Because there's a cost to being healed. There are new roles, there are new expectations. To be healed requires throwing off learned helplessness and lack of agency. And it's a question that we have to wrestle with when there are areas of our lives that are crippled. Do you want to get well? Are you willing to take on the obligations that come with being healed? And I want to just challenge us all this morning to take a hard look at the places where we've been stuck or we've been stymied. And I want us to let go of false remedies that have been ineffective for decades. One of the things, in terms of that man by the pool of Bethesda, it was pretty clear what his ailment was. It was pretty clear that he had a level of brokenness. It was pretty clear that he had to be healed. But for many of us, the places that need healing are hidden. And it takes a level of courage to, number one, admit there's some places in my life that are broken. There's some places in my life that God needs to intervene and to heal. It takes courage to face that fact. For some of us, and I have my hand up, you may have spent some time stuffing down emotions because it's too painful to face the pain and also the trauma that resulted in that pain. So we need to ask the Lord to prepare us, because sometimes that question, do you want to be healed? Sometimes that answer is no, because we're not ready. We're not ready to face the pain. We're not ready to face the trauma that we've endured. Or rather than stuffing down emotions, we may be the type of people who lash out in anger. And we need to be healed of that and to acknowledge when we are hurting other people by our actions. Hurt people hurt people. So I want to just encourage and challenge us this morning to take inventory on a regular basis. Take inventory of every area of your life. Take inventory around your emotions. Take inventory about your physical health. Take inventory about your relationships. Take inventory about the state of your finances. Take inventory about all areas of your life where there needs healing. And ask God to help you to be ready to be healed and to receive. And sometimes that healing, there's a process involved in the healing. It's not always instantaneous. And we see that in scripture, that sometimes God heals over a period of time. And whatever it requires, as we see, Jesus really confronted that man at the pool. You've been here for 38 years, you ain't got healed, and you needed some help, and that help was not forthcoming. So one of the things that we need to recognize as well is that if you need help, don't languish in a place where there's no help and you need help. Don't stay where no help is provided. So in our primary passage today, it picks up after Jesus commanded the man who was healed to pick up his mat and walk. And that was the command Jesus gave that raised the ire of the Jewish leaders. And why? Because the healing took place on the Sabbath, and that act of taking up his bed and walking, that represented work. And doing work was prohibited on the Sabbath. Let's just break that down a little bit. So there's an account in Genesis chapter 2, and it says, by the seventh day, God Oops, wait a minute. Lost my place here. It said, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it he had rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God had been busy working, but on the seventh day he rested from his work. And that word Sabbath is derived from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease or to rest. Just so you know, it starts at sunset on a Friday, and it ends on sunset on a Saturday. Here in Leviticus chapter 23, also, we see the Lord commanding Moses to say to the Israelite people, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You're not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. So this is why the Jewish leaders were upset, because, hey, the scripture says you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And in his defense, Jesus says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. And there are two points that I want to highlight here. First, Jesus calls God my Father, and they understood that to mean that Jesus was saying he was equal to God. So that was number one that they were upset about. What? But second, he says, my Father's always at work to this very day, and I too am working. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. The Father loves the Son, shows him everything he does. It's going to show him even greater works. Some of you know that we enjoy the theologian N.T. Wright. And he had what I think is a really brilliant insight about what this work on the Sabbath represented. Because the Sabbath was initially instituted after the Lord, the God, had been about a work of creation. And after he finished that work of creation, after it was completed, he rested. So by healing on the Sabbath, what Jesus is essentially saying is God's no longer resting. There's a new work of new creation that's in place. And so by healing on the Sabbath, Jesus is saying, hey, that new work of creation, of healing the world, is begun. So even greater works are going to be done. We're going to be amazed. And as followers of Jesus, we are to follow his example. Amen. We're following Jesus. We're going to, amen, follow the example of Christ. So, because he's at work, we're going to be at work.
Amen.
Amen. So what we want to talk about today is, how do we recognize when God's at work? So God guides us through his Spirit to recognize where he's at work. He's inviting us to join him, to participate in what he's doing. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through his word. We shared this morning, he speaks to us through circumstances. And his activity in the world reflects who he is. So everything is shaped by his compassion. It's shaped by his grace and patience, his steadfast love, his unwavering faithfulness. And he's at work restoring what is broken, reconciling people to himself, to one another, establishing justice, and ultimately renewing all creation. Romans 8:28, familiar passage, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And one of the ways we recognize God at work is through the fruit of the Spirit. Wherever God is transforming lives, the character of Jesus becomes evident through Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. So we're going to see the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to see the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, where God's at work. And we want to evaluate every situation through the lens of his character of love and justice and ongoing work of redeeming people and creation. We can also identify God's kingdom wherever we see the signs of new creation through the work of his people, communities becoming healthier. I love what we shared today, that there's a village and everything that we need is in the village. Communities becoming healthier, broken relationships being reconciled, divisions giving way to mutual respect, people choosing forgiveness, mercy, and hope over conflict and despair. These are glimpses of God's continuing work of making all things new.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm going to share a Bible Project video. So let me see, hold on. Okay. Let me make sure the people who are on Zoom can also see this. Okay, yeah, that's all good. All right. Let me turn this around so y'all can see. So in terms of, and this video I think really kind of highlights as we think about how God operates in the world and how we operate as his children in the world.
So if you lived in ancient Bible times, odds are you lived under the authority of a king.
And many of these kings claimed that they were gods, and they would even call themselves the image of God.
Meaning they had authority to tell people what to do, order things to be made.
Yeah, they got to define good and evil. And these kings would often make statues of themselves, which in Hebrew were called tselem, often translated as idol or image.
But for Israel, they didn't view their kings as the god. In fact, they were never supposed to even make images of God.
It's exactly right, and that was really unique for that time and culture. This is rooted, first of all, in Israel's belief that you can't reduce the creator God down to any one thing in creation. But there's another reason. People aren't to make images of God because God has already made images of himself.
When did he do that?
Well, let's go to page one of the Bible. And the first person we meet there is God. He's the one with authority over all creation. He speaks and creation obeys. And he defines what is good and not good. In other words, he alone is king. But then surprisingly, as the pinnacle of all of God's creative work, he makes humans. And he calls all of them the image of God.
Wait, so he gives all humans the authority to rule?
Exactly, that's what he goes on to say. He tells the humans to subdue the earth and to rule it. And so this task that once belonged only to elite kings is here in the Bible the task of every human being. This was a revolutionary statement in its day because all humans are being called to rule and to participate in the human project.
So what does this mean? I mean, how are we all supposed to rule?
So the picture we get in Genesis is gardening.
Gardening?
Yes. Gardening. So they rule the earth by cultivating it, by harnessing all of the earth's raw potential and then making something more and new out of it.
So growing food for each other.
Yes, but that also includes growing families then, which become neighborhoods, and then they create communities where people are going to work and take care of each other and build businesses and cities that will expand to new places and so on.
So ruling is really the day-to-day acts of our work and creativity.
Yes, we take the world somewhere. This is humanity's divine and sacred task.
Yeah, and this all sounds really nice. And humans have designed some pretty great things. But Just as often we create things that cause a lot of suffering and a lot of injustice, so maybe we shouldn't actually be ruling.
Huh? Yeah, so the Bible addresses this. In Genesis, what happens is that God gives humans a choice about how they're going to rule. So are they going to use their authority for the benefit of others, which is God's definition of good, or are they going to turn away and define good and evil for themselves and use their authority for self-advantage?
And in the story, they choose to define good and evil on their own terms.
And so this is the Bible's depiction of the human condition. So sometimes we pull off amazingly good stuff, but just as often, despite our best intentions, we act selfishly and we create evil in the world.
And so we're stuck as mediocre rulers making a mess of things.
But that's not the end of the story. So the Bible goes on and it makes this claim that all of this was resolved when God bound himself to humanity through Jesus. And he showed us what it looks like to truly rule as a human.
So what does it look like?
Well, Jesus ruled by serving and by seeking the best for others, by putting himself underneath them and loving not just his friends, but also his enemies.
And that's not a typical way to rule.
And not only that, Jesus confronted the consequences of all of the evil and the death that we have created by our messed up ways of ruling. And he takes it. I mean, he lets it kill him. And so when the New Testament writers looked back to Jesus' resurrection, they see a whole new future opening up for all humanity.
Jesus is a new way to be human.
Yeah, that's why they call Jesus the image of God, or the new human. And not only that, they also believe that Jesus' divine life and power is now available to heal and to transform us to become our life and power.
And this sounds really nice, but what does it really look like?
So practically, the Apostle Paul said it looks like people being filled by Jesus' own presence and spirit, filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and integrity and gentleness and self-control. He says this is the new humanity that God wants to create in us so that we become people in whom God's image is being restored, people who will move the human project forward. And that's actually how the story of the Bible ends. It's a renewed world where God is on his throne and his servants are all around him, but they're the ones ruling over this new world, taking it into new, uncharted territory with Jesus as their healer and their guide.
Thanks for watching this channel. We do this because we believe the Bible is one unified narrative that leads to Jesus and has profound wisdom for the modern world.
So we're making a different.
Amen. This is an exciting image of our role as the image of God, that he's created humankind to be the image of God. So that's how we are at work in the world in partnership with our God. So one of the things I wanted to share, just in terms of how the Lord works through circumstances, one of the experiences I had recently was that I've been involved for several years in an organization that's focused on mental health and focused on healing from trauma. And it occurred to me that there might be a venue beyond the community-based venue that we've been focused on where this program could really be in operation. So I called the folks who are leaders of this organization, this program, and it happened that they were thinking along the same lines. They said, oh, this is a God moment, because we were just thinking about that type of expansion for this program. So they put together a day where we'd have a brainstorming session. So people were coming in to kind of talk about this potential expansion of this program again to bring mental health and to help people heal from trauma. So there were some folks who I invited to come. One of them had a conflict. The other one said, okay, I don't really think this is going to work for us. They kind of passed on the opportunity. But it just happened that I was at a party and saw a woman I had not seen in 10 years, at least a decade. And just as we were catching up, it turned out the kind of work that she was doing was just ideal for this program. So I invited her to come to this brainstorming session. She comes to the brainstorming session. Not only does she arrive, she brought one of her colleagues with her who had a connection with another person who was in the room, and they hadn't seen each other. Like, what? What is So in our kind of follow-up at the end of the day, we had a time of kind of sharing, like, what the day meant to us. And so many people were like, what are the odds that you're going to run into somebody, you haven't seen them in a decade, right. It just happens they're in the same line of work, you invite them, not only do they come, they bring a colleague that also brings all these resources and connects with somebody. God is at work. Amen. So we see how he works through circumstances and how he confirms what he's doing in ways that we didn't manipulate. It's something that God is clearly doing. So, following up with this passage, some of the other things in the passage that we want to know, it's like, okay, God raises the dead and gives them life. The Son gives life to whom he's pleased to give it. Jesus is the Son of Man and has authority to judge. The dead who have done what is good will rise to life. And those who have done what is evil arise to be condemned. And just a reminder, because this reference of Jesus as the Son of Man, and just want to remind us all of where that reference comes from. And it's this image in Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel has a vision. It says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. That means someone who's a human. So Daniel's having this vision. He says, there before me was one like a son of man, a human, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. He approaches God. So he's on his way to God. What happens? He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So this is a divine human. Jesus is both fully human and fully God. And this image in Daniel chapter 7, where he's described as the Son of Man, it encapsulates that identity for Jesus. So that's how he has this authority, and he's going to be a righteous judge. Jesus says that whoever hears his words and believes God who sent him has eternal life. Just a reminder about eternal life. It's not a non-physical existence in some distant heaven. That's not what it is. In the fulfillment of the kingdom, heaven and earth will be united. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And God's going to dwell fully with his people in a renewed world. His plan is to renew his creation. And this new life, what I love, it begins now. Eternal life begins now. Amen. Amen. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we enter into a restored relationship with God and begin experiencing the transforming power of his kingdom. Yet his fullness still lies ahead when Christ returns. The eternal life is the age to come, God's promised future that has already begun to break into history through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we are experiencing those first signs of that future today and look forward to its complete fulfillment. Our hope is not that believers will leave earth for heaven forever. Rather, those who die in Christ are with him until the day of resurrection, when God will renew creation and raise his people to live bodily in the new heavens and new earth. What an exciting future we have. Amen. With the Lord and with others who've gone on before us to be with the Lord. So just in conclusion now, Eternal life is therefore not defined only by its unending duration, but by its complete transformed character. It's an intimate knowledge of God. So just reading this last scripture here, John 17:3, it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It is life made whole as God intended from the beginning, a restored humanity living in perfect fellowship with him within a renewed creation. And in that renewed world, God's people will joyfully reflect his character and participate in his everlasting purposes of righteousness, peace, beauty, and flourishing. Mm-hmm. So we want to be about experiencing all that God has for us, that healing he has for us, and to extend that to others as we obey his command to make disciples of all nations. Amen. 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 Praise God. All right. Well, it's about quarter past 12:17. And I think that the Lord has really spoken through us and in us today. But I wanted at least have us a chance to just reflect a little bit and to have a time in prayer before we adjourn for today. So let's just open up for any comments, questions, and prayer requests before we close out in prayer for today.
Well, I appreciate the expounding on, do you want to be healed? Because that has always troubled me. It's like, that's such a weird question. Of course he wants to be healed, but you're exactly right. It takes work to be healed, and people are not always ready to face the pain, to face themselves, to take accountability, to do what they need to do. People don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And that makes so much more sense to me now when I see that, you know, think about that interaction between him and the person where he asks him, do you want to be healed? And most people don't. Most people don't, because they don't want to look at themselves. It can look ugly. Look at yourself and really go, oh my God.
You know? That's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. People don't want to do that. So I really appreciate that, expounding on that.
And it really comes to play not only for ourselves, but when we want others to be healed, we can't want their healing more than they want the healing.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
If they're not ready to be healed, you got to pray for the Lord, help them to be ready to be healed, because you can't want it more than they want it. Yeah. It's not going to work.
So that's my prayer request. I have on my mind, I want to hear about your son and your wife and her sight.
Yeah.
I just have that on my mind.
Yeah.
I had spoken to, prayed with Pastor Eva and Pastor Rockland earlier this past week, because my mother, some really, really serious health challenges. I did it with them privately because I wasn't ready for it to be public and to get whatever was coming, because I was just trying to process it myself. I'm at a very strong place right now, which is why I'm now sharing, because I want my family to pray for my mom. And you know, not going into all the details, but just prayer for his kingdom come, his will be done in her life, whatever that is, and that the medical team is supporting her care in a way that preserves her life and her quality of life. Prayer there, you know, because I have found that in this new season for her, my vigilance has to be even greater, because the medical team has something in their mind and they're operating on that, which is not in congruence with what's in my mind about how I want things to be going with my mom. And so I have to really stay clear with them about the actions they're taking, the actions they're not taking, to make sure it all aligns with our faith and belief that God has a final say. So prayer for that. And also for my cousin, when you say it, God is just, it's jaw-dropping awesome when you think of all the things that had to line up to be in a particular place at a particular time. It's just mind-boggling to me. My cousin, who moved here from Texas, where she had lived for 52 years of her life, moved to Boston, lives downstairs from me, which she couldn't have done if things hadn't happened with my mom, for where she's in a facility, because my mom lived downstairs. So she's there at a time, you know, just fast forwarding, she moved in the end of October. We are both dealing with some very, very, very serious issues with our mothers at the same time. At the same time. So we are here for each other.
And they're sisters, right?
And our mothers are sisters. And there are only three of the nine left. And they're all the sisters. And so she needs prayer, physical, mental health. My cousin's mother needs prayer. And then just for the family, as we're all just dealing with all of it. And then some of us, some of the cousins have some their own medical stuff going on. So it's just, it's been a lot. And I appreciate what you said of learning how, despite what's going around, we're not down here. Because that is something that I have learned the very, very hard way. These two really know I've gone to some really dark places. And the last one I came out of, I vowed I will never, ever go back there, ever again. And I have learned, instead of having things that happen, because I would go into paralysis, just so overwhelmed, just shut down. Completely, that I'm going to continue living my life. I'm going to continue doing things despite some really painful stuff that might be going on. And it's not being callous. I'm going to go out, have lunch with my friend. I'm going to go take my trip to help my daughter. I'm going to just keep living life in spite of all, because that also is you telling God that you trust him.
True.
And he told us to count it all joy. He told, we have that in our spirit, joy, which has nothing to do with what's going on around us. A spirit fruit that we have that's just there, that can ground us, you know. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, there's a reason for all of that, so.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that excites me.
Yeah.
When you can share and hear somebody share that, because that's huge. It's huge. I was grappling with coming to church this morning. I'm on vacation. At a well-needed time. And I'm just like, okay. And I was like, okay, am I going to stay in a house? Looking at all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm really tired. I'm just going to go back to bed. You know, feeling. But then I was talking to my girlfriend, and the more she talked, the more we talked, I just began to get dressed. And I'm glad I'm here. Because this, I think what, maybe it's just for me, I think what God is trying to get across is that when we think about going out and being disciples, we have this image in our head that is sort of kind of like not really clear, because we see and what we know and what we've grown up in is it being done in a certain kind of way. But there's no limits on God on how it's done. There is, you know, it could be in the grocery store. It could be, and really, you know, learning to make the connections but cultivate it in a way that, you know, it grows. And that takes courage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know for myself, I am at the place now that really tearing down the old images so that I can see God in what he's doing when he tells me to go out and make disciples, when he's telling me to lend that hand. But in my head, I know that I've shied away from the past of how it's done, you know, because it's just like, okay, I'm not that type of, not feeling like I'm not that type of evangelist or, you know, the whole spiritual, not spiritual, the religion, you know, so I think for me, you know, God is trying to get me to open up and see that, I'm going to do that. That's, you know, the old way, you know, be open to when I say, go out and make disciples, when I say, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And then as the little things begin to happen and, you know, recognizing that he's there. And like I said, I'm really at a place that the sisters or whoever I'm connected to understand that. Because it is absolutely, we have to live. God didn't tell us to be underneath the rock and
true.
To stay there,
right?
No matter how heavy it is, which leads me into, you know, prayer for my son. He is in the hospital. Praising God for that. He's out of sorts right now. When I call, you know, he's in the beginning of his journey through this journey. And I know that that statement is very true. When we know we need things internally, but we don't have the courage to ask. We don't, you know, we feel ashamed in the whole gam of the negativity that holds us down. When we get to that place, to be able to address it, to look at the pain of it, to look at ourselves and we see how ugly we look. That's not always easy. It's not always easy.
It's hard.
This is where my kids are, because I always tell them, if you do the work is the hard part. But if you do the work, you will get the results that you're looking for. And we know with any type of, you know, therapy, counseling, you know, just trying to be vulnerable. It's not always easy. So I'm really praying that as that he come through it, that God would really restore him and restore those broken pieces. That's my prayer. For God restore, that's my prayer for my family. We've been so broken. I've been so broken, and I'm at this place of healing, and I'm trying to really clear out the stuff so to allow God's healing to take place in me, that I know that I'm healed because he healed me.
Yes.
You know, and that's a difference from the race thinking of, you know, that being healed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, but God, you know, would heal the broken pieces and bring them together in the way that they need to be, you know. And I'm at a, interesting enough, I'm at sort of kind of like a good place. When I got that, it was just like, oh, but I didn't let it bring me back down.
Amen.
And I'm like, I'm gonna live. Because God can't move in us, in me, if I just stay in the bed.
Yes.
If I just stay in the house. If I, you know, and I'm a person, I need people. I need people. I need to be around that. He's teaching me how to be by myself right now, but I need prayer for that, for my son. Because it's going to be a journey, and would trust me enough to continue to walk with him and advocate.
Oh, Jesus, I know you can't do it. I can't do it. I know you can't do it.
Amen.
Yes, he will. Amen.
It's so wonderful that what God's doing here. And I was ministering to